being here. I want to say I apologize for being an 9:30 show up person, because like 8:25, 9:25, there's so much energy and joy in y'all's bouncing off of each other. I think I've missed out on some really good stuff pre-service with y'all. Today, the tag team efforts of Pharisees and Sadducees cook up their best little tricks and traps and sleight of hand. And what have we learned between the bookends of today's reading, starting with the Pharisees being silenced for fear of what people might think, to finishing with them being silenced completely as they can't handle the divine depth and truth of the one who has been given all authority as he follows the Father's will? Well, none seem to be able to fully grasp or follow it until post-resurrection clarity. In the bag of tricks, a coin for Caesar, with his face, then recognize the spin on our currency, coin and dollar bill today. Clever tailside professing, but it's in God we trust. So you can trust us. We're with God and he's with us. And along the way, the Sadducees today, with them today, I have not read scripture enough either to better understand Jesus' answer to the Sadducee riddle of the woman who was a wife to seven brothers as each died off and who has no child. I believe that I would sense relief in you as women who have been married and with child, that Jesus' version of heaven has her free of man and child's ownership. It sounds heavenly to me, if I'm honest. Who gave you this authority, Jesus? What makes you right, Jesus? You have no right to be an authority over me, telling me how to live, Jesus. Jesus' 40-day fast, the devil stakes claim as king, as the authority. What about Pilate's authority claim? And Pilate fears God being in a governor position. He fears Jesus, unlike the proclaimed followers of God. John 19:8. Pilate, do you know who you're messing with, Jesus? Short answer, yes. What about chief priest's authority claim on being the authority of Moses and Elijah's authority? And what about Jesus' mom and dad and the family authority? In Matthew 12, Jesus says, with the right authority, my family are those who do my Father's will. Then along comes the man who kept all the laws. He claims authority over God. Haven't I kept all the laws? Like the loyal son and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He proclaims to Jesus and the masses, like a game of checkers, after some success across the board, we chime proudly and innocently, king me. King me! And so we all lost after desire victory for self like those of Jesus' day. No one dared to ask him any more questions. With the subtle and confusing truth that he's David's son, yet David's Lord, it silences them and us. In our Matthew study, Pastor has revealed those desiring the heart of Christ, the eyes of Christ, then, though weak and outcast, boldly asked for this gift. They begged rightly for mercy and were granted it. Yet what pieces of our puzzle do we dare to claim untouchable and off limits? Or infallible to the challenge of the Christ and the Holy Spirit's requiring of total allegiance? When challenged, do we just let it drown out with the noise of the other powers that stake claim to our puzzle pieces? Or do we create our own distractions? Are we unwilling to be replaced, reshaped, refit to the panoramic of a Christ-honoring community that builds up and builds on Christ alone? The eyes have it. The nose knows. Eyes perceive. We have our spidey sense and intuition that is still alive and well and somewhat accurate as a truth detector, even as we try to prove our mind to be superior and always write the fact checker. Deep down, we are daily being called on down into communion in his presence. While the Jews of then and the us of today, we wanted Jesus, or better yet ourselves, to be in the starring role like De Niro, with the look and the phrase unleashing attacks. Are you talking to me? Christ walks right into the heart of commerce and business as usual. And as Pastor reflected last week, into the heart of the very temple of God's loyal followers, leaving all followers completely lost as to what pieces or truths go where and why. And so it goes today that he, through his Spirit, enters each church body and upends us, any and each, leaving us dazed and confused because he can and he should and he must. And the Holy Spirit resides also intimately within each human heart that does living communion, breaking of heart and bread and healing and forgiving with our Lord and his created. Paul professes in 1 Corinthians 6 and declares it so. So we must be his temple where he conducts his business. Jesus' words today warn in Matthew 22:14, many are invited, few chosen. 32 and 33, he is the God of the living. Be rightly astonished. And I wonder in 21:21 what the mountain is in our readings that his faithful children are called to cast into the river. Raise and demolish each stone crafted in the cities and religion of one's own heart and be rebuilding aright. Raise and level the fig trees of errant religiosity and self-worship and man-worship. He will give you the eyes and humble power to see anew and begin to set right upon the stumbling block cornerstone. Jesus with such audacity cleans houses and clarifies in 21:13, your temple is to be a sanctuary of prayer. And if that prayer has to come from our heart, Bible scholar N.T. Wright rightly challenges each of us to be legitimate. Recognize the necessity of each of us to have scripture-soaked hearts. Jesus has rightly been given all authority on earth and in our hearts as in heaven. As Pastor Mike and Pastor bring to life the blinding clarity of the transfiguration, while Peter focuses on Elijah and Moses, God the Father speaks, "This is my son. Listen to him. Him." In the twofold plan of the Father again uttered from Jesus' lips, verse 37, the commands are simple. Love God. Love others. In his and our cries of passion, can we get a witness? Yet we, hand in hand, unfortunately, with Pharisees and Sadducees, today, I believe we water down commandments 4 through 10 with an eye roll or a shaming. Honor your parents and authorities. Don't steal. No lusting. Don't kill another spirit. Bear false witness or covet. Stop it. You and I may be misusing Luther's small catechism, hard work toward deeper heart study into Jesus' truths, and turning it into kind of a sterile white noise, as opposed to the light-altering, heart-altering ways to live in communion with our God and with his surrendering and sustaining souls while we navigate being in conflict with him, with his created. And most honestly, we're in deep conflict within our own very selves. As I talked the other day about my life pains and tears, both those shed and those I've issued upon another, and how I try to put the pieces back together and in order, according to how I hear and bow down to his authority, it starts by using his truths and patience to try and clear the brush and the logs in my own heart vision and my own heart relationship with the authority over all life.
Lord, help us to focus in on right relationship and renewed health and integrity from people who have your and our attention, like Moses did for Peter. Help us focus on who we see live out the will of the Father, keeping their eyes on how Jesus lives, as we practice losing ourselves in loving relationships with you, Father, your children, and learning to love our own very selves in the right way, instead of how we leverage our mixed heart. When in relationship and honoring Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as the only authority in our heart, we work on correcting our connection with the Lord, our inner turmoil, and each other. Here are some other hard-fought-for relationship truths, only for men, for healthy, right crimes in passion. These are areas I need to process and practice to sense what God, what is God honoring beyond the current comfort zones in my experiences. Some right relationship commands or suggestions of loving each neighbor and our Lord. You can't have one. You can't love one without the other. One man ponders, conversations in faithful living are pretty rare, honestly. He implies they might not even be possible or profitable. It's a lonely walk of obedience, and few can understand. Two, another man shares his truth. He had to pray for 8 years. For the letter of the law, he offered forgiveness to somebody, but the spirit in his heart took 8 years for it to be where he felt right about that relationship, of the deep call that God said, this is how you forgive. That's real for me. It's not easy to recover from direct hits. It's not as easy as 1, 2, 3 or some trite expressions of how we forgive, but we don't forget. Even as that is a truth that we practice and learn into. Our hearts and souls are laid bare by those we barely know, and regularly by those we know all too well. Three, another man professes that when we confess our own sin to another directly in repentance, that we ask what he or she will need for us to make amends for the damage we've done, to show good faith in our relationship. The sins that we've done and committed and confessed can't be undone, nor the collateral damages. It's the least and the most that we can offer and follow through on as humble, stumbling, faithful servants of our Lord. Four, as I remind you, my counselor says anger is a good thing. A man of deeper experiences professes anger is never really actually about the other, but reveals a path of what needs and feelings are not being addressed within the individual, within me. Five, he shares the hard-learned reality that we need to hear and see beneath the words and emotions in a way that provides observing and learning and loving, subtracting the evaluating and judging that we're so good at. Six, we will have to unlearn shame and guilt, monologues and dialogues. They've been improperly taught and reinforced by our circles of influence and by our own very selves. Seven, a man says the hard work of forgiveness happens behind the scenes. Me and my Lord, one-on-one, not in some hypocritical scene or flamboyant word display, nor with the audience of whomever I claim well-intentioned by using as a sounding board to reinforce my rightness in a conflict. Freely forgiving by God's power has no ego or strings attached to it. Eight, and if the confrontation is avoided by me, however masterfully, I rationalize that this is for the best. It is a loss from the growth needed in both me and my brother on behalf of and with support of the Lord. Nine. Again, the hard work of forgiveness is a fairly silent walk, even with all the noise, with you and God, until you can rightfully approach a fellow believer and say the wrong is forgiven, whether it was known or not. No mixed agendas or pompous power plays of superiority. No blaming on my part. in my being. I'm just a fellow sinner working the steps and begging for our holy Lord's mercy and discernment as we build each other up as the hurting, hurtful faithful. Trusting that our words will be gentle and our spirits will be gently balming and healing and refreshing even in the immediate and the lingering hurts, pains, and collateral damage. Tana, a reminder from our last talk. People are doing the best they can with the hands they've been dealt. And we all bring and are responsible for our immaturities that we bring into communion together with Him and each other. And thank you for the glimpses that God enables us to give each other day by day. Thank you for trying. So these are the suggestions and commands of other Christian men and their ways that I'll continue to process and navigate and work into practicing to continue to challenge my thinking and actions when my most comfortable state, again, is to hold my cards close to vest and not say much so that I can grow into more intentional and respectful and joyful relationship to honor the ultimate and final authority of all creation, even as conflict resolution efforts rarely, nor should they honestly, resolve themselves in fairy tale endings. Who gives you this authority, Jesus? You and I join the temple masses asking this question directly or deceptively with any and all tricks of the trade, as we prefer to explain God's will our way or in any other man's way. I don't want to be so boldly or subtly disrespectful to God, the true Father. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for having your patient mercy in your ultimate authority. Help us with our unbelief, as it is your goodwill to heal all relationships aright. As we all have a few experiences with conflict and our best efforts toward productive resolution, relationships and resetting wrongs is messy business, but it's not business at all. It's hearts broken in communion together in our responsibility to vulnerability with our Lord and with each other. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we profess the Lord's authority on His earth and in His heaven. Our hearts are side by side, none above another, as we are being unified in beautiful diversities, complexities, and even our immaturities, being joyfully healed and restored by our Lord in His proper timing.